Good morning. As I arrived this morning, Peter said, "Oh, you're going to love it today. We've got a really good preacher coming." And I just, for a moment, wondered who he was talking about. Pleased to be here. And I'm sorry that Neville's not here. I wanted to thank him because I was involved in all of this. And at the end of it, he said, "You get to choose which one you want to preach." Which I thought was lovely. So I chose newness of life because for me, it's personal. I'm embarrassed because before I was saved, my background was kind of loose Methodism. That was the family religion, if you like. When we first got involved with the church in Torbay, my wife invited the preacher to come round. Now, she never asked me. She just did it. And I wasn't very happy with that at all. And she said, "Well, if you don't want him to come, you ring him and tell him not to come." Well, I wasn't that brave. I'm not that brave. But he was a lovely man, and eventually we got saved and joined the church. But I can't forget sitting in my lazy boy, full of all this theological knowledge, and him saying to me, "Well, you know, we're just basic Christians, and what we do is we preach the gospel and so on." And I said, and now I will never forget this, I said, "Well, religion's all right, but I'm never going to let it change my life. I think I'll have that on my gravestone." Because, of course, we got saved and your life changes. It's a new life. And so I wanted to talk about that subject. I mean, all of these things are important and we could spend a lot of time talking about them. But we have to understand that when we accept Christ, this is an eternal new. And took me a long time to get that. Now, some difficult concepts here, but the main concept that we have to grasp is that a new life is literally that. And from the moment you accept Christ, I love the way it's phrased in Scripture. You know, when it talks about Jesus coming, and it says, "We shall be changed in an instant, in the twinkling of an eye." Now, I don't know how fast that is, but it sounds pretty quick. But it's the whole idea of being transformed from one thing to something else. And newness of life is all about that. It's all about that moment you receive Christ, if you truly believe, if you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, and you confess with your mouth that he is Savior, you are saved. And from that moment, it's newness of life. And I loved the way Jesus was very patient with Nicodemus. And he said, "Unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. You cannot see it. It's spiritually blank. And before you are saved, you have no idea about what a spiritual life is." And so when we look at what a sinner is, there's this separation. But the moment you're saved, well, things change. And so we understand that when we talk about the world being unsaved, blind, deaf, can't understand, and so there is no spiritual life. I love the whole concept. I was listening to someone preaching a long time ago, and they were talking about a woman experiencing a baby. Now, I've never had that experience. I'm quite pleased about that. I was glad I was born a male. But anyway, apparently at that moment when the baby first moves, it's called the quickening. That's the proper term for it. And the Bible talks about when we are saved being quickened. In other words, the Holy Spirit comes into us and we are suddenly alive in Christ. And so it's a wonderful thing to understand. We become new creatures. The Bible talks about that over and over and over. It's repeated. This is new. New. Not the old. And because we are new, because we are born again into the kingdom of God exists from us from that moment on. And yes, I know we're still sinners, we're still in a mortal body, but things have changed. We are now immortal. You go, well, I don't feel immortal, I feel very mortal. The older I get, the more mortal I feel. But that's natural, that's the earthly body. But what we have to understand is that when we are saved, from that moment on, we have an eternal perspective. I met a guy one time when I was preaching up in Auckland, and we were watching a church for a while until they got a new pastor. And one Sunday morning, this man came in, and I preached what I normally do, and afterwards he came up to me and he said, "Oh, I can't agree with what you're saying." He said, I have to be saved over and over. He said, because I sin, and I know that I must confess my sin, and then Jesus saves me. So I said, so if you got upset here today, and you got angry, and you walked out the road and got hit by a truck, you're not going to heaven. Correct, he said. Well, now there's somebody that fails to understand what's going on in salvation. Newness of life is a fundamental part of living for God. God has made a way that once we accept Christ, we are born again into the kingdom of God. And we can talk about what's in the kingdom of God. But we know that God is faithful. We were chosen, if we're saved, we were chosen before the foundation of the world. This is an eternal project. You are an eternal project if you are saved. If you're not saved, you need to be saved. If you're not saved, come and talk to me about that, or anybody else here, because we need to understand that salvation changes everything. See, it's not just you. I love the fact that when a sinner is saved, the angels rejoice. They're happy to see you. They're going, here's a new name. I love that old song. There's a new name written down in glory and it's mine. It's mine. Because we're changed in that moment. We're indwelt with the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit indwells us. And we're changed. And it's an eternal change. It's a heavenly change. It's a change that God will perform. And the Bible says we have to look at this eternal view. And when we look at this eternal view, we have to change the way that we think. I struggle with some of this. Because you know what it's like? You do something bad, or you think something bad, and you go, oh dear, I'm not learning, I'm not growing. I think I should be better than this. And yes, we should. But we have to understand that it's like anything. Paul, when he writes to the Corinthians, he goes, what's the matter with you guys? I was with you for 18 months, 2 years. I taught you everything. I'm gone 5 minutes, and here's all the issues. What's going on? I've got to treat you like babies. We've got to go back to first principles and teach you what's right and what's wrong. And I know we feel like that. That's a natural thing as Christians. You're not going to get it all right. In fact, I've never met a Christian who's got it all right. I've met some pretty good Christians who, good preachers and so on. But you can always tell when people are human. If you're human, you're going to do things wrong. You're going to make mistakes. That's okay. What we have to do is to forget, correct, move on, because we are sealed. It doesn't matter. Once we're saved, we're sealed. I love that. I always have this impression in my mind of, when they used to send letters and they get the wax and they get your family stamp. And that was, no one allowed to break that except who was going to receive whatever it was. And we are sealed. God says, you are mine. We have a new life in Christ and you are mine. It's sealed. Your name is written down in heaven. The angels all know your name. Nothing can change that. And we are redeemed. And how we love to understand that. that we are redeemed. And I love the fact it talks about an earnest. We don't use that term here, but if in America, often if you want to buy a house in real estate, you want to buy a house, you often have to put down an earnest to show that you're serious about buying the house. And so it would be anything between 1% or 10% of the value of whatever it is that you're buying. But you won't go into a contract unless you put down an earnest. And an earnest is a non-refundable deposit. So you put $1,000 down saying, here's my bid, it's a serious bid, and they'll go, okay, we'll take your $1,000. Now, if you have a contract, they'll take that $1,000 off the price. But if you walk away, that money's gone. It's gone to the person selling the house because it's an earnest. You have to put down an earnest. I love that. You know, the whole idea is that we're redeemed and the Holy Spirit is our earnest. A non-refundable deposit. God says, you're mine. Not because of anything we've done, but because of our faith in Jesus Christ. We're indwelt with the Holy Spirit. And we have that understanding that God promises us that, well, he's going to establish us. Yes, we're saved. It's an eternal situation. And God is going to build on us because he's got a job for us to do. And maybe we don't know what that job is, or that job takes time or whatever, but we are to grow in grace and be established. Because God has decided he's going to use us in the ministry. He uses everyone that's saved in the ministry. You go, oh, don't worry about it. He's got it all figured out. You'll talk to someone or witness to someone, or you'll be a friend to someone or a help to someone, or make a meal for someone, or you'll do something for someone, and they'll know that you're a Christian and it'll affect them. Do you know I upset so many people at work when I got saved? I had no idea until I left how many people I upset when I got saved. Do you know, they used to talk about me and they used to say, oh, poor Barry. I heard this is, someone told me this. They said, oh, he's had a mental breakdown. Poor man, he's all religious now. You can't talk to him about anything. He always wants to talk about religious stuff. See, I had no idea. You got no idea. You don't know what God's ministry is doing in your life, but it is. Why? Because we're changed. We're newness of life. We're born again into the kingdom of God. And he's got a job for us. And we have to be willing and establish what we want to do. He is our high priest. And I love talking about our whole message on the veil. You know, when it is finished and the veil is torn from top to bottom, in the tabernacle. Do you know that whole year, hundreds of years, the tabernacle was there. Hundreds of years, only the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies. Only once a year, made a blood sacrifice for the whole of the nation. Once a year, Jesus destroyed that. The veil was rent from top to bottom and the Holy of Holies was exposed. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. It's a lovely old song. I love the old hymns because they're full of theology. And we need to understand that eternal redemption is for us. It's for me and for you. And once we are saved, we're involved in eternal things. And without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Jesus' blood was shed for you and for me. And it's eternal. And we have to understand that. Things change. We're no longer citizens of earth trying to get to heaven. I love that. Vance Havner, a man that I respect and so on, he says that. He says, if you're a Christian, you know, you got to change your whole thinking. You're born again. You're eternal. You're a citizen of heaven just waiting to get there. I don't know how long. We have no promise of tomorrow. The Bible tells us that. But we have to change the way that we think. Because, well, we think about heaven. We go back to this. We have look. It says, no wise enter into heaven anything that defiles its. We have to be pure, and we have to be holy, and we have to be acceptable, and we can't be without Christ. Nothing that we can do, Christ has to do it through us. We have to be in Christ. And so we have to understand that as citizens of heaven, we have to be more than just Christians. I love this whole concept. Bible talks about being new creatures and so on, and forgetting those things which are behind and so on. It says we are now ambassadors for Christ. When you stop and think about an ambassador's responsibility, just imagine that you were applying to be ambassador for New Zealand to Botswana. Okay, I don't know, anywhere. What would they want? They go, they're going to look at you, aren't they? They look at your life and they're going to, why? Why would they be worried? We send anybody. Well, no, we can't just send anybody. Why can't we send anybody? Well, they're going to be out there with lots of money in a nice place, nice building, and they're going to be having, you know, functions and lunches and dinners and wining and dining people and all the rest of it, and they've got to be faultless. Why? Well, because if they fell over, what's the first thing that's going to happen? Well, come home. come on. And that whole concept of being an ambassador is, I think, a very good one for Christians. We're now citizens of heaven. We have to be ambassadors for heaven. We have to be ambassadors for Christ. We have to be ambassadors for God. Which means the Bible says you've got to be blameless, you've got to be without fault, you've got to be all, well, you go, that's really hard. Yes, it is. Being an ambassador is hard work, I tell you. And you have to just take it on board and accept that people are going to look at you and they're going to say things about you and they're going to criticize you. I know, I preached one time in Cambridge and I got a hate letter afterwards. Well, now all I did was do what I normally do. I open the Word of God and I preach it. I'm not clever. I just do what the Bible tells you to do. And I preached it. And I was told I was unthinking. I was told I was cruel. I was told I was judgmental. And I shouldn't be alive. Because they didn't sign it. I wish they had. I would have gone knocked on the door and said, let me just talk to you about it. You need to be saved. So if someone was sitting in that congregation and they didn't like the Word of God. The world doesn't like the Word of God. The world hates the Word of God because God says, you're going to be like me, you have to be changed. You have to have a new life in Jesus Christ, who I've prepared for you before the foundation of the world. And it's up to you to be an ambassador. And you need to grow in grace and grow in understanding, because that's your job. You're not children. Might be when you first saved, I was, but we're supposed to grow in understanding, and we're supposed to grow in grace, and we're supposed to press on towards the mark, the high calling of Jesus Christ. That's something that we're supposed to do. Onwards and upwards. And it doesn't stop. It never stops. I read something this week in my Bible that I did not know. You go, really? How long you been saved? Yeah, I know, a long time. How many messages have you preached? Yeah, I know, lots and lots and lots. But guess what? It's new every day. And you read something, you say, now that's something I never thought of. I'll share it with you next time, okay? And keep you guessing how it was. But we're to grow in grace and the knowledge of our understanding. And to be built up. And I love that whole thing, you know, the longer you're saved, the more answers you can give. Isn't that true? The longer you're saved, the more answers you can give. People go, well, what about this? And you go, been there, done that. Here's the answer to that one. Confound them, eh? And so we have to be built up and understand because we are changed. And abounding, this is probably the hardest thing. Wake up every morning and can't wait. No, I don't know about you. None of that happens until these have had me coffee. But we, you know, we are to abound. And the whole thought process there is growing and getting better and getting stronger. And I've met Christians, you know, been saved a long time, been Christians a long time, but they're not abounding, they're not strong, they're not. So I understand Paul's frustration when he writes to the Corinthians and says, look, you know what you should believe. And you're supposed to be growing in all sufficiency, being right. So, to reiterate, when we are saved, we become new creatures. I love that. We're not just human beings anymore. We're eternal human beings. We're changed. And Christ is the thing that changes our faith in Christ. Nothing that we can do except believe. Works don't do it. And I used to, before I was saved, I used to weigh in the balances. You know, I'm a good person, so I'm going to be okay. And that's what the world thinks when they think about God sometimes. That's not how it happens. We have to be indwelt with the Spirit of God. We have to be born again. And a union with Christ, I love that. We're together with Him. And we're on a new level of existence. So, newness of life. Do you have it? I mean, I hope as I speak to everyone here today that you are saved, that you are born again, that you have received Christ as your Savior. But if not, we have no guarantee of heaven. See, you're not a citizen of heaven if you're not saved. You're not a citizen of heaven if you're not born again. You have to have the Holy Spirit in your life. You have to change. I've met people who profess to be Christians, and I have to say I worry about them because I don't see the change. And people are supposed to see the change. And I can say I'm saved, I know, because people around me saw the change. They thought I'd gone nuts. That's probably a good example. He's changed. Yes. Citizen of heaven now. I'm going to heaven. I hope I see you there. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the newness of life that is in Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit that comes and indwells us and quickens us and livens us. And helps us, Father, to see the way, the truth, and the life. And Father, we pray that you would just bless us and encourage us. Help us to be ambassadors for Christ. Help us, Father, to be a witness and a testimony. And Father, to be all that we can be to our loved ones around us and our friends and our neighbors. That, Father, they might see the need of a Savior. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.